Pat Buchanan joins us on our newsline right now. His latest book is State of Emergency, The Third World Invasion and Conquests of America. Hello, Mr. Buchanan. Good to talk to you. Good to have you back.
Well, it's good to be back.
And last time I think we talked was when I was on, you were sitting in for Scarborough, and I was on there talking about internet safety on MSNBC with you. That was,
was a long time ago.
A good time. Anyway, about the Iraq Study Group, and you have not exactly been, welcomed by George W. Bush for advice on this issue, you know, lately, because you haven't been, towing the line on some of the George W. Bush talking points in Iraq. How does it strike you with the report now that it's out and it's being dissected in the media?
Well, I think grave and deteriorating situation is probably right on the mark. Just as Gates was on the mark yesterday when he said, ask if we're winning the war, he said flatly no. So I think they've been very candid and very correct in their assessment of the gravity of the situation there. But I will say this, I don't for the life of me understand how withdrawing all your combat units from battle in the next 13 or 14 months is going to result in a success of the American mission.
Yeah.
I don't see how the United States in that period of time can train an Iraqi army to accomplish what the best army in the world couldn't do in 4 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think we're holding back? We've been holding back?
The Americans have been holding back. There's no question about it in terms of use of their forces and firepower. But, you know, that we may have passed the mark on that one. I don't think the United States or the American people would support any large infusion of American troops. You could get a surge, as a number of people have recommended, of 20,000 in there for a short period of time. But it looks to me like this recommendation by the commission, I understand they're saying the situation is grave, but they don't look like they've come up with any great solution to me.
No, and had they come up with a solution, there would be questions as to, well, how much gravitas they had in determining a solution if it was beyond what they said. It seems to me they stated a lot of things we already know. I know this after I was over with Abizaid last fall, a year ago. He was talking about some of the same things, some of the same concerns. I think there's some people in Washington and certainly members of the media who have been tone deaf on this. So for some of them, it's a revelation today. A lot of what I'm seeing is a restatement of the obvious.
I think so. I mean, for me, it's I'm glad to hear them speaking the truth, but this was not something we didn't see or we haven't seen. I mean, I'm over here at MSNBC where I've got to go on again at 4 o'clock, and they just got in news. I don't know if you saw it, Mark. 10 more American soldiers just killed.
Yeah, well, that's like an answer from the insurgents saying, okay, now you're feeling a little wobbly. Let's give you this.
Well, you know, here's the thing, too. If you pull those American combat brigades out of Iraq, and what are you going to leave there? Support troops and people in the green zone? I mean, what is to prevent someone like Muqtada al-Sadr, who's already got 40 to 80,000 fighters, from waiting for the Americans to go and then really inflicting a real defeat on the American civilians left behind? I mean, I've talked to General McCaffrey, too, and He thinks you got to have a certain number of combat brigades simply to protect the people you've got in country.
Pat Buchanan with us here live on News Radio 600 KOGO in Southern California. The debate over the last, I'd say, year, maybe year and a half, as it's really ratcheted up, and certainly as we got into the election season this fall, it seems to me there's some culpability on the rhetoric side, the rhetorical side here as well, because, again, you know how this gets played over in Al Jazeera and so forth. It's like too many of these speeches, I think often accidentally even, turn into rah-rah cheerleading for the bad guys. They hear this kind of thing and think, hey, if we hang in here a little bit longer, the Americans will wear out and they'll go out with their tail between their legs.
Well, look, if I were the Iraqis, the insurgents, and I saw the Baker Report and listened to Gates and listened to Baker and listened to Hamilton, saying the situation is grave and serious, and we're going to start pulling out combat troops, I think I'd be high-fiving it and saying, look, we're winning this war. These guys are going home, and they're determined to go there, and we just keep putting the pressure on, and we wait until they pull out a lot of their troops, and then we'll run them out of the country completely. Maybe with a little bighorn to take with them.
Exactly. And, boy, we know how that worked after Vietnam, just how long it took us to get back in gear to come back from the wounds that were inflicted on the men and women who did the job.
You know, Mark, I think this is the thing. I think we got to start, you know, looking at what this strategy group or this study group has recommended and what they're saying about the situation. And they're talking about pulling the rug from under Maliki if he doesn't shape up and get the job done. You know, we're going to reduce military, political, and economic support, I mean, that's pulling the rug out from under the government. Now, that might be a good way to punish them for malingering, but what are the consequences when you do that? Who takes over when that government goes down? It seems to me then the winners are the people with the guns who are tougher than anyone else and got more guns and are willing to inflict more casualties. And I think at that point, you get the other players in the Middle East moving in as the Americans move out. And you got the regional war that Gates has warned about.
Yeah, and he did say that. I mean, even though yesterday he said, when he was asked, are we winning? He said, no, we're not winning at the moment. And, you know, I mean, again, that's from the Department of the Obvious, I think. And then he came back later and said, well, we're not losing either. It seems to me, again, there are some people on Capitol Hill who either don't get this or they somehow care more about themselves, their power, the power grab, what happened with the election, who's in charge in January, than they do about freedom and about our men and women in uniform. I mean, they're out there saying, oh, I support the troops, but so many of the actions, so much of the words they're saying, so many of the words they're saying are sending a different message. So do you think that a lot of them just care more about power?
Well, I mean, there's no doubt they do care about power. I think what the Democrats, the victorious Democrats, are doing right now is they're not going to cut off funding. They did that during Vietnam, and they paid a hellish price for it. When Vietnam resulted in, you know, a genocide against the Cambodians and, you know, tens of thousands of South Vietnamese killed and hundreds of thousands or scores of thousands in concentration camps and half a million or so on the South China Sea in boats. So I think they're not going to do that. What they're going to do is keep beating up Bush for his failed policy, not offering any specific hard alternative other than to say, hurry up and get out. Because they don't want responsibility for what they think or believe or know is coming when and if the president follows their advice. So I do think they've got the power now, and they're just going to get the benefit of what they see as a gathering collapse in Iraq.
If the president called you, Pat Buchanan, and said, all right, what do you think I do with this? What do I do with the study group? I'm looking at this and other suggestions and so forth. What would you tell President Bush right now?
I'd tell him just what I'm telling you. I'd say, you know, Mr. President, I think they're telling you the truth about the situation. It is grim, and I think you probably know this. Understandably, you got to maintain a certain level of morale in the armed forces, your commander-in-chief, maintain the morale of the country to the degree you can. But this is a grim, grave situation, and the United States, unlike Vietnam, where we were not defeated on the battlefield, the United States could lose this war. And we are not winning it, and you got two choices. Fundamentally, you can figure out whether you're going to win this war, and if you're not, and nobody's going to support staying the course, you're going to have to get out and accept a defeat for the United States.
Well, Pat Buchanan with us here on News Radio 600 KOGO. Now, on the immigration front, specifically illegal immigration, the only word we're hearing in terms of some kind of a leadership sort of deal, the way he can get along with the Democrats next month is to get cozy on this amnesty deal, to get the bill he's wanted all along, forget those like you and me who are saying, let's enforce security on the borders and get sensible about this. What would you tell the president on that, as he's tempted to get cozy with Pelosi and company on immigration?
What I would tell the president is, I resign.
Okay, you're an unpaid consultant, Pat.
I've seen your immigration bill, sir.
But you're an unpaid consultant, so just ask, then what would you tell him? Nice out.
I would tell him very candidly. I say, Mr. President, look, I understand, so to speak, where you're coming from. You were down there in Texas. You know the Mexican folks. They're good folks. There were a number of them. You went to school with them. But we are in a brand new situation. You yourself said you've stopped 6 million on the border in your tenure of office. If you grant these folks amnesty, 11, 12 million, 20 million, however many, and you do not secure this border, the whole world is going to be coming across this border, and someone else is going to have to secure it, and if they don't, we're going to have a hellish situation, an enormous concentration of scores of millions of Hispanics in the American Southwest, which Mexico believes belongs to them. And you're going to go down in history as the president who lost the American Southwest, the James K. Polk won for this country. Now, sir, I mean, if you're going to go down this road with Kennedy and with La Raza and with McCain, do you really think La Raza and Kennedy and these folks share your views and values? Do you really think that they share your view that these folks are going to come in and become good American citizens, register and vote and join the Republican Party. They're going to sink your party, too. This is going to be your legacy along with Iraq, that you lost the southwestern United States.
Is he listening to his dad's people too much, do you think?
Well, on that one, I don't know if he wasn't listening to his dad on Iraq, and I don't know if he's listening to his dad on this one. I think this is George Bush's own beliefs. I think George Bush is very much more ideological than his father is.
But not a real conservative through and through.
No, I don't think he's a real conservative. This is not Ronald Reagan, and I think he came into office determined to be more like Reagan than his father. But I think, basically, he's a neoconservative. George Bush has been converted to neoconservatism, just like he was, I think, converted to Christian fundamentalism.
All right, Pat Buchanan, always very interesting analysis. The latest book is State of Emergency, The Third World Invasion, Conquest of America. Must reading, especially when you see, you know, like we did last week, the occasional fist fights in the Mexican Congress. Kind of know what's going on with the orderly transition of power there. Thanks, Pat. Appreciate
it. Okay, you take it easy.
All right, take care. Pat Buchanan with us here on News Radio 600 KOGO.